on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Josh, killing it with the music today.
Remember rock music?
I love a good rock song.
It's gone.
Rock and roll.
Well, this is the hip. We're getting all Canadian lineup today. Free Pistols. This is part of the Road Apples album that we were talking about with Maple Leafs. Jamming out before game six.
I mistakenly called it Road Onions.
Oh, you just put yourself on blast.
Well, listen, we talked about accountability earlier with the tarot cards and me and you.
Honestly, I think that was the most disappointed I've ever been in you in my life when you called.
It's kind of a joke.
The album. Oh, now it's a joke.
I forgot what it was, then I just thought that'd be funny.
Road Onions by the Tragically Hip. It's a bestseller. Luke Fox, NHL reporter. Luke Fox Jukebox. Honestly, you probably just disappointed him. He's a big music guy with your knowledge, but we'll move through it.
No, put him on blast. Best hip song, Luke.
Luke, how are you?
Oh, no. I'm doing well. You don't want to talk to me about the hip. So,
wait, are you allowed to cover the Maple Leafs and not be a fan of the Tragically Hip?
I know. I keep it quiet because I know a lot of people love the hip. I'm not a hip fan. So that was the music that dominated my college campus.
Mm.
And I just heard so much of it that I don't dislike them, but I'm good on the hip.
So
I've had my fill.
All right. That's okay.
I respect the heck out of them. It's just not for me. That's okay.
Gordon Lightfoot, we talked about him this morning with Jeff Merrick and his passing. Oh, are you going to put him on blast too?
No. I remember in grade six, we were all taught to sing The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. So, okay. Yeah. Shout out to Gordon Lightfoot.
All right. Well, that's your music music Tuesday with Luke Fox. We talked about this last time we spoke about hopefully you getting the opportunity to write a new story. It was right before the Maple Leafs had an opportunity to win series. They did that on Saturday, so we haven't talked since. And you got to write some new stories. How did that feel for you?
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, just like the old phrase, like you don't root for teams, but you do root for people. And, you know, just the relief and happiness and joy, and you could hear the celebration in the dressing room after the game. It's nice for those guys, right? Like they've been through some stuff, as Sheldon Keefe said. Like it's been a lot of disappointments. I've gone into that room, whether it's in Boston or it's in Toronto or wherever, after another elimination loss, and you see the sad faces and guys just, you know, feeling gutted and just sitting there like they got nothing left and they have to answer the same old questions. So, you know, good on them. You know, I think the Lightning really threw everything they could at them. It was a tight series that probably deserved to go seven. But for once, the Leafs got the overtime bounces. For once, they had the better goalie. And their big players came up in big moments. And it was really cool to be in the building for that. And when I was flying back from Tampa on Sunday evening, I met some Leaf fans and who went down to the game. And just, you know, you feel good for the city. You feel good for those Leaf fans. Like, they're just overjoyed. They're riding a high. And then today you wake up and you get to cover a round two Maple Leafs game. That's something I've never done before. So we'll see what they do. Hopefully, you know, Auston Matthews kind of talked about the mental aspect of getting over this hurdle, and I do think this will give them a rush of confidence. The trouble is they're facing a Florida Panthers team that is playing its best hockey all season and kind of has nothing to lose. Like, I still think the pressure's on the Leafs here because they are the much better team on paper. They had the better regular season. They have home ice, whatever that's worth these days. But the Panthers are kind of playing with house money. So I think it's going to be a really fun series, and I expect tons of offense too.
Before we look forward at what's to come tonight and moving forward, I want to ask you about maybe like the best thing that you saw or experienced, because you were down there, you got the up close. I don't know if you were in the dressing room for most of that, but whether it was fans that stuck around, the embrace from Auston Matthews and his family, like, I know you got a bit of a different perspective. So anything that you want to share that was special about the moment that the Maple Leafs had?
Yeah. I mean, and there's a few things. I think, you know, the first face I saw when I walked in the room was Morgan Riley's. You know, he's just looked exhausted, but looked so happy. And, you know, I kind of thought about him as the longest tenured Leaf, and for him to have the series that he had, he was dominant. And, you know, just he earned that, right? Like, mm-hmm. 10 years with this franchise, and to finally, you know, get rewarded like that. I thought about him, you know, hanging out in the hallway with a Coors Light was Ryan O'Reilly, and he was just talking with Darren Pang, breaking down the whole series, just, you know, not in front of a camera on a mic, just kind of hanging out, because they know each other from a long time in their St. Louis days. So he was kind of going through the nuances of the series. And then when he was, after he had showered and was walking out, Pat Maroon was hanging outside, like, the Tampa Bay Lightning's wives and kids room waiting for him. And they were hugging, and, you know, it was such a hard battle, especially with Maroon, you know, some controversial plays and everything, but, you know, they embraced and chatted for a while. And it's this, the difference on their faces, like, Maroon has been there. They've won a championship together, but one guy's smile was way wider than the other. And, yeah. And then just, you know, I saw Kyle Dubas walking out of the building, and he was on a high, and, you know, just, you know, tons of little moments like that. And, you know, good on them.
Were the buttons still attached to Kyle Dubas' shirt?
No way.
Yeah, he had calmed down, but that video when the puck was in, that was next level. Brandon Brittain looked like he thought
he was scared.
Was going to deck him. Yeah. Yeah.
So the series victories in hand, is there a eureka moment attached to all this? Is it, you know, the acquisition of Ryan O'Reilly? Did it come from Dubas? Did it come from the players? Like, is there something that just kind of, like, clicked and made sense and was able to be applied? Or did they figure that out on the run against Tampa? Like, is there something to reference when it comes down to a different result?
For me, it's the trade deadline and a change in philosophy with Kyle Dubas. You know, I think it was kind of gradual over as the playoff failures kind of mounted. But I loved what he did in his trade with the St. Louis Blues. I think Ryan O'Reilly was the perfect guy for this team. I think Nola Chari was awesome in that series. And I think he's, you know, if you're going to have a bottom six winger, like, I don't think you could do much better in the playoffs than this guy in terms of what was available. I think he's fantastic. Luke Shen, like, I can't believe the series he had. Like, I thought he'd play in the series. I thought he'd contribute. I thought he'd do some things. But, you know, he tilted the ice. He was calm with the puck. He wasn't just clearing people out. And he settled the team down. Like, I thought the Leafs were never in the battles as much as they were in that series. Like, they weren't as physical or as fearless. They always kind of were the turn-the-other-cheek team. Whereas I think Luke Shen added a little bit more of that pushback. It made guys stand a little bit taller. And then he backed it up with some really good play when the hockey was happening. So for me, it's the deadline that Dubas had. To me, that was the turning point. I felt at that point, okay, this is going to be a much more competitive team, much more built for the playoffs. And I think we're seeing that. Jake McCabe, too. He had a bit of an uneven series, but he laid some hard hits. And it's just an element that they needed after Jake Muzzin went down. So I think the additions Kyle Dubas made, you know, mid-season really helped get this team in shape, found the right supporting pieces.
And so now the question is, and you presented it well, what happens next? Like, what does this cathartic moment, this playoff breakthrough mean for the Maple Leafs? I guess it's a real test of their character and maybe that maturity they might have learned over the trials and tribulations of losing and losing and losing. And as John Tavares put it a lot in his post game about learning something from these moments. So tonight being the kickoff of round two, the Maple Leafs come in with an opportunity to build on that, but so do the Florida Panthers, right? They kind of clawed their way in and they had no expectations. They took down the Boston Bruins. And I feel like both teams are riding of a moment of mental fortitude into tonight's series. How will you know that the Maple Leafs have learned something and have changed from a round one victory and continuing to look ahead and not settling in the moment of getting through what was something that we all had circled?
I'd say the start. How do they look right at puck drop? How do they look in the first 5 minutes? I hated their game one against the Tampa Bay Lightning. It was like they were overwhelmed by the moment or were feeling things out. So I would be surprised if they did that again, because they're saying all the right things. They're saying, for one night we enjoyed that round one. It was good for us. It was good for the fans. But then they quickly are shifting the focus and the commentary to the Panthers and the fact that we're not done. We want this to be step one of four. So they're saying all the right things, but I want to see it on the ice. I want to see them attack this game. They're the better team. I honestly believe that. So are you going to wait and be the counter-punching team or feeling, what are they going to bring? What's their rush attack going to be like? What's their forecheck going to be like? And can we respond? No. Why don't you impose your forecheck? Why don't you take it to them? That's what I want to see, because they got outscored pretty severely by the Tampa Bay Lightning in period one. Over the course of that series, they waited too long to be the team that scrambles and comes back and forces overtime too many times. So I think the start will tell us where their minds are at, because they should be the aggressor in this one.
So it looks like, Sheldon Keefe won't mess with a winning lineup, with the exception of having Zach Aston-Reese back in the lineup and going with the sixth defenseman, but not with Justin Hall, instead with Timothy Liljegren, based on practice lines yesterday. Do you expect like the same sort of scenario to play out, where it's a moving target for Keith? He's working the puzzle pieces around. I know Michael Bunting's suspension kind of forced his hand a little bit, but this seems like an ever-evolving process that is going to transfer from one series to the next. Does this feel like the most stable offering Sheldon Keefe is going to have out there, or we should probably expect something new next time that, adversity hits?
Yeah, I think if you look over Sheldon Keefe's whole year, how many times does he go a 5, 6, 7 game stretch at any point without making some tweaks? So, I'd be stunned if the same lineup we see in game one is the same one in game four or something like that. Like, for one, the Leafs got incredibly lucky, knock on wood, Leafs fans, with the lack of injuries that they've sustained so far. I can't remember a team coming through round one so healthy. Plus, they got a full NHL fourth pairing on defense ready to go if need be in Gustafson and Hall right now, not to mention Connor Timmins and Victor Mete hanging around. So they have incredible healthy depth. It's really remarkable. But I would expect, as the series plays out, both teams are going to make some adjustments as they go along. But it is pretty cool for a guy like Matt Nyes, who had three regular season games, all of a sudden, all he does is win in overtime when he's in the NHL lineup. And now you look up and he's playing with, this Arizona hero of his, Austin Matthews, is a centerman. He's a top line winger for the Maple Leafs in round two. Like, just an incredible story. So it's interesting how the lines have shaken out. I thought Michael Bunting had a lot of jump and looked, pretty good and pretty poised. Like, he wasn't messing around with the extra stuff that he can sometimes get into in game six. So I think he responded really well after the suspension and the healthy scratch. So I think it's great that he's back in the lineup. And Timothy Liljegren was fine. He held his head above water. And I would assume Justin Hall gets back into the lineup at some time in this series. I don't think his scratching all falls on him. I think the Hall Giordano pair as a whole struggled. And I think Justin Hall is one of these guys where he has dips and he needs a reset. And so I think it's good that he's getting a reset right now. But, this is going to be an evolving thing. There's going to be bumps and bruises. There's going to be lines that, get caved in and other lines that do well. So it's always going to be like constant tinkering with Sheldon Keefe.
So Florida's a pretty fascinating case. I mean, they win the President's Trophy last year. They're 30 points worse. They need a really good run down the stretch to get into the playoffs, and Pittsburgh kind of capitulating a little bit. So it's this team that still has this framework of an elite, elite regular season team. But last year it didn't work. They got embarrassed by the Tampa Bay Lightning in round two, and they made changes. And the number one change really was Matthew Tkachuk coming in for Jonathan Huberdeau. And Matthew Tkachuk had a brilliant season. He's not the reason at all. It's even, it's frankly surprising that they could be 30 points worse with Matthew Tkachuk having Hart Trophy caliber, at least nominated caliber season in his first year with Florida. Is that really the key to the series, managing Matthew Tkachuk? And how do you think the Leafs will approach that matchup specifically?
Yeah, it's one of them, absolutely. And, you know, right now he's skating on a line with another former Flame, Sam Bennett, and he also had a fabulous series against Boston. So I think that's one of the keys. You know, Alexander Barkov's probably going to put a premium on shutting down the Leafs' top line and be the more defensively responsible line, the Barkov line. So Tkachuk is the that's the line that it's probably going to try and score, rack up offense, get under the Leaf skin. You know, the way Toronto is approaching it is, let's keep everything between the whistles. Let's not let him drag us into some nonsense. And, you know, I mentioned Shen earlier and McCabe, like having a couple guys like that boxing at the crease, I think is going to be really key to limiting the nonsense that Tkachuk can get into. It's funny, you know, like over the regular season, and I know he was on my, you know, he was high on my heart ballot, not as high as Connor McDavid was, but he was high. So, the nominees are, the finalists are actually going to be starting to be announced this week, tonight, actually, for the individual awards. That's an aside. But Tkachuk's games against the Leafs, the regular season games, he wasn't that much of a threat. And he wasn't that noticeable. He didn't have his best games against the Leafs. But, you know, he's coming in hot off that Boston series where he's been one of the best players in the playoffs so far. So he's going to be a big X factor. If you can limit him and limit his nonsense, like dragging, you know, guys into bad penalties and stuff like that, then I think you're going to be okay.
So when you're previewing this series, Luke, where does the advantage lie for each team, if there is one? Because it kind of seems like a coin flip at times. I'm struggling to kind of predict where it's going to go. So if you're looking at who has the upper hand in which area, where does that start for you?
Well, I think it starts with the defense. I like Toronto's defensive depth more than Florida's. I absolutely love Brandon Montour. He's really come into his own. He's having the season of his life. He's just flying around, scoring goals, jumping up in the rush. He's burnt the Leafs a bunch this year. So I love him as an offensive defenseman. And, you know, he's played so well that maybe him and Morgan Rielly actually cancel each other out in that regard. But in terms of, you know, stay-at-home defensemen, you know, Mark Stahl had a good series. Aaron Ekblad is fine. But I just think the Leafs have more depth on defense. And I actually like the Leafs' team defense as well. I think their forwards play better defensively, all due respect to Barkov. But I do think the Leafs' forwards buy into the defensive side of the game better than Florida's. So I think that Toronto will be more comfortable playing in a low-scoring game. If there's an advantage for Florida, they love to rush. Like, they love to counterattack. They want to create a turnover and then just go after you immediately with a quick strike. So Toronto has to be wary of that. Take care of the puck in the neutral zone. Don't try to get fancy before you get across the blue line. I think that'll be key for Toronto because the counterattack of Florida's can kill you. So, I favor Toronto as a whole. The goalies, you know, it's nice to see Sergei Bobrovsky kind of trying to earn some of his money back and being the man, taking over for Alex Lyon, who is an incredible story for the Panthers down the stretch and early into the Boston series. But, you know, we're getting another, like, classic Russian versus Russian matchup. And Samsonov totally rose to the task against Vasilevsky. And now he has another, you know, pretty accomplished Russian goaltender in Bobrovsky that he's going to go head to head with. To me, that might be a little bit of a wash. So yeah, I think Toronto's D and their depth is where I give them the edge.
Last one for you, Luke. Regardless of what happens, do the major players with this team, executives and those who actually wear the sweaters, have they earned the run it back?
Let's see it play out. I'm leaning towards yes, but I think we have to see how this goes. You know, if they get swept, like, and anything can happen. The sport's been crazy. Like, look at what's happening in some of the round one results. What if they lose in four or five and aren't competitive? Then I think you start to raise eyebrows. But I would be stunned if that happened. I think as long as this is a competitive series and the team is in it, and I fully expect them to be, then I think, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so for now, keep the drafts in the computer. Luke, yeah. Thanks so much for jumping on with us. I think we're making a habit out of game day, which is makes your day a little bit longer, but we definitely appreciate extending it for us to talk a bit of Leafs. Round two tonight, Leafs and Florida Panthers. Looking forward to it, and we'll see you down at the rink. Luke.
Awesome. Enjoy the game, guys.
It's Luke Fox, NHL reporter at Sportsnet.
First time he's covering a round two. A lot of us in the same boat.
I feel like with the Leafs, at least, I think the Sportsnet set them down to a couple, you know, other.
No, I meant a Leafs one.
With the Leafs, yeah. It's not like he's, you know, vacationing at this time.
No.
But not writing grinding. The negative stories. Writing the positive stories. It's a nice thing. I think the nicest thing for reporters is avoiding, like, the absolute funeral atmosphere of
in
cleanup
the locker
day.
Room.
Last year, it was bleak.
Yeah?
They started with Spezza, and it was like,
oh,
it's like the saddest part because he's like talking about potentially being done, writing seemingly on the wall. It's rough. It gets really old real fast, and it had gotten old.
I'm really looking forward to tonight. Maple Leafs favorites in the series. We'll maybe take a little look at the series previews, but the Maple Leafs tonight could be my wake and rake selection. Just teasing that at $5.90, $5.90.
Just lock it in now.
Okay, perfect.
Lock it in.
Boom, done. You can send your bets in, and we'll get to that after we talk to our buddy, Steve Dangle. But do the Maple Leafs have what it takes, Justin? Because what it takes is our code word today for tickets to Aerosmith coming to Scotiabank Arena on September 12th as a part of their Peace Out the Farewell Tour with special guest the Black Crowes. And we're giving away tickets all week long. To enter, tune into the Fan Morning Show every day, listen for the code word, and text it to 59590. Today's code word is what it takes. Text what it takes to 59590 for your chance to win. We're giving away another pair of tickets tomorrow. And if you don't win with us, make sure you secure your tickets by going to Ticketmaster.ca starting this Friday at 10 a.m. What it takes.
And officially, what, parts of 60, or not 60, parts of six decades, rather? These guys have been around.
The Farewell Tour.
You got to go to the Peace Out Farewell Tour to do that. It's either Ticketmaster or What It Takes.
Best of luck. We'll be giving away tickets all week long. All right. Steve Dangle joins us on the other side of the break. A guy that it's been a long time coming. A long, long time of watching Steve Dangle go through the highs and lows and many, many lows of being the Leaf fan that we all look to. He's going to join us on the other side of the break. And I hope that he's still got that positive vibe going from Saturday night. I don't think he'll ever get rid of that. He joins us next. And then a baby wake and rake to wrap up the show.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590, the Fan, Justin and Ailish. Maple Leafs in the second round of the playoffs tonight. Puck drops 7 p.m. A long time coming. Somebody that has worn it well. Has made it through. The highs and the lows, and maybe the most anticipated post-LFR, talk to Steve Dangle, watch him react, go through the emotions, was this Saturday night. Steve Dangle, host of the Steve Dangle podcast. Steve, you there? How are we? Man, I've been waiting to hear your voice.
I am great.
It's like Tony the Tiger.
Have some cereal this morning.
It's you know what it is. I'm happy they're in the second round, but we get to talk about the Leafs like a normal team now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like we don't got to talk about them like we have to ignore the evidence of our eyes and ears for an entire calendar year until they actually do something in the playoffs. They did it. They did it. They won around. They're normal.
Normal.
So let's go for our normal team.
So I think hopefully for a while now, all three of us have like understood simple division or subtraction or whatever you want to call it. But the fact that there's eight teams left and the Maple Leafs are one of them was like kind of like caught us off guard today. Have you looked at the bracket? I'm sure you're just staring at the bracket. Looked at the bracket and just been like, wow.
Definitely. But, you know, I would hate for this fan base to wait nearly two decades to win a round and then look at our second round opponent and be like, oh, we got this. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's an easy one. Like, dude, they won 3 of 4 in Boston. I mean, it's the playoffs. Nothing makes sense. Both teams in this series have a losing record at home. in these playoffs. And the Leafs have won more games in Florida in these playoffs than the Panthers have. Nothing makes sense. Nothing makes sense at all. And I don't think people have quite grasped that you would actually rather, at this stage in his career, play Brad Marchand in a best-of-seven series than Matthew Tkachuk.
Mm-hmm.
Tkachuk is younger, he's bigger, he's stronger. I think he has less care for human life, actually, and he's got better offensive ability. Marchand's probably maybe the better defensive player. That's maybe the only place where he's got him beat. Like, that dude was a nightmare against the Bruins, and the Leafs, who have been actually pretty good at guarding that inner slot, they're going to have to figure him out, or at very least hold him at bay.
There was a couple reasons why I was a little disappointed it wasn't Boston, and we'll get your take on whether or not you were disappointed, but that's part of the reason, right? Like, they were a little bit diminished, and we're finding out about Linus Allmark being hurt, Patrice Bergeron's injury. They had no center depth, and I thought, wow, like, Boston's probably going to get through here watching that game, and they might be gettable, but also, I don't know if true exorcism always involves Boston, but I'm here for the storylines, and it would have been a little bit more interesting, at least for me, if it were Boston. So I'll throw it back to you. Are you a little disappointed at all that wasn't Boston, understanding that they're maybe not quite the team that dominated the regular season right now due to injury, but also because Toronto needs to get through Boston, don't they?
Well, I mean, Raptors fans, are you disappointed you didn't go through LeBron? Like, no.
That's true.
No, like, I was caught up in that narrative. Like, I want the Leafs to play Boston. I want them to exercise those demons. They did it against Tampa. I want to see them do it against probably their bigger dragon in the Boston Bruins. And the second I turned on Game 7, Bruins-Panthers, instantly I was like, go Panthers! Like, instantly I was cheering for them, and hilariously, that's when they blew their lead. When Pasternak scored that 3-2 goal, I thought they were dead. There's no way. And then they're taking penalties. There's no way they're coming back in this thing. But there's no quitting this team. And we have two teams who might not have been the better team in their series, but they found a way. I think this is going to be a really dogged, rough series for both teams.
So Saturday night, you have your moment, and everyone's kind of tuning in to see you. Who were you thinking of first when that happened? You know, obviously, I think a lot of people circle you as the big Leafs fan, and we talked to Joe Bowen, and a lot of people talked to him. I thought about him as well when the Maple Leafs finally made it to the second round. Who were you thinking about?
Oh, man. It made me think back to the beginning of my career and everything, when I first got my webcam, my like $70 webcam that I got for, I think it was $29, because my
discount.
girlfriend worked at Future Shop.
Hell,
and now
yeah,
she's my wife. So,
That's a love story.
Yeah. So I was thinking about that. I was thinking about all the friends who didn't give me too hard of a time for starting a YouTube channel in 2007, which was weird at the time. Like, now it's normal, but back then it's like, what are you, a dork? But my friends didn't bother asking that question. They knew I was a dork, so they let me do my thing. And I was thinking back to, like, Leafs TV when I worked there, and some of the brutal games I had to, like, sit through and do highlights for. Like, dude, when I was making Leaf highlights for the 09-10 season, you're essentially making highlight packs for the other team. So, and that wasn't even the beginning of the drought. So it was a very long road, a lot of reflection on a lot of different moments. Most of them were garbage. So it was nice to turn the page.
And I just double checked with Future Shop, no longer an operation, but it's glad that your relationship, you know, overcame that, and there you go. You know, it's good things happen at Future Shop, even though it no longer exists.
That's a very good point. Like, this drought lasted longer than Future
Shop.
There you
go. Who do you think it meant the most to on Saturday night, either on that roster, either in the press box, either in the management? Like, you got to pick one person that moment. Who did it mean the most to?
I mean, it's got to be Kyle Dubas, right?
Yeah, we saw it. Oof, written all over his face.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, like, I'm sure they had a contract drafted, and it was just a matter of signing it. Like, who knows? He might have signed an extension, and we just don't know about it. Like, I wouldn't be shocked by that. But, I mean, if you're Dubas, who's driven themselves more nuts watching this team than him?
You.
Yeah, maybe me. But, like, I didn't assemble the thing, right? Like there's me screaming, this works, this doesn't work, why are you doing this? And there's him. And in every move he makes, you assume his argument is, this works, this will work. That's why I'm making the decision. And year after year after year, we watch it work. We watch it super work. And then the playoffs arrive, and it stops working. It's got to be the most maddening thing for him. And, again, like a top five team in the league, consistent top 10 team in the league, how don't you bring that guy back? Well, they keep losing in the playoffs, man. So it was going to be a really torturing decision that we no longer have to worry about on account of they didn't lose, did they? They won. Kyle Dubas' team is in the second round. They have a 1-8 chance at the Stanley Cup. Let's get it go.
Is there any worry that it's maybe gone too far, the stock, that Kyle Dubas will be so sought after if there isn't an agreement in a drawer somewhere that he might wind up somewhere else? Or is cooler heads going to prevail and both parties probably understand that they mean a lot to each other? Evidently.
No. See, you're thinking about this like a Leaf fan who didn't just finally watch them win a playoff round. We got to drop this attitude that every bad thing that could happen will happen. You know what? Why stop there? I say, you know what? They won a round, so Dubas is too expensive. How about Matthews is too expensive? I think let's go there. I think he's gone too. I think they both go to, I don't know, pick a team, the Habs. Why not? And they're going to join Connor.
Okay, I regret opening the door.
No.
Steve, I regret opening the door.
See what I mean?
Yeah, it's not a good path to go down. So we'll stay with our own confinement, which is round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. But I do want to reflect one more time on round one. And I wonder what emotion you have reserved for John Tavares, because Tavares has always been, like, kind of sheltered by the fact that he came home, right? Like, everyone really, really wants him to thrive in this position because, well, he came home, right? And he was like the first to come home, and it's not often that guys come home even still. So Tavares has kind of been insulated, and the truth of the matter was that his expensive free agent contract hadn't yielded anything and may have not yielded anything, and then all of a sudden the guy who's had no success in the postseason scores the biggest goal in this franchise's history in what, the last 20 years. What was your feeling for John Tavares watching him celebrate that goal?
It was laughter because I the last thing, I like to browse Twitter a little bit before we go back to air on the streams. And the last thing that I read was a tweet from James Myrtle, who said, you know, Tavares has played under 15 minutes. He doesn't have a shot on goal. He's got to pick it up. And who goes out there and has the shift of the playoffs, man? Like, he did not quit on that puck. I was screaming at the screen when him and Luke Shen had that little, wasn't really a miscommunication at the blue line, maybe a miscalculation. He stayed with it, beat Steven Stamkos. And, man, you got to go back and watch that extended shift. Like, I know the question was about John Tavares, but keep an eye on Matthew Knies. That kid is ridiculous. He was fantastic on that shift. He just beat Mikhail Sergachev in every way in order to get that puck to Tavares. And I saw something last night that was too eerie. When the Leafs in 2022, Game 7, were trying to tie it up against the Tampa Bay Lightning, the last Leaf to touch the puck was John Tavares. And what does he do? He spins and fires the thing at the net. No goal. It's an almost identical move to the move that he used to end the series against Tampa this year. It was a lot of poetic justice, and I'm thrilled that it was Johnny who got it. And I mean, who better? Who better? I think it probably went through the team like rocket fuel.
Sheldon picked up on that move, calling for the forehand on the bench. Another cool of the many cool moments that we saw from the Maple Leafs in Game 6. Who do you think is going to feel more at home in this series? Underdog, outspoken, playoff performer, perhaps? You mentioned Tkachuk already. What about Paul Maurice? How does he fit in this equation?
Oh, I think Paul Maurice, I think he's an underrated coach in terms of human feeling. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of strategy, I don't know. Like, sometimes his teams get outshot and they take a lot of penalties historically. But the good news is he's a fighter. And that's what this series is going to be. It's going to be a dogfight. And also, if you're a player on a Paul Maurice team, you can rest easy that the refs will never hate you as much as they hate him. This dude who stands on the bench all game and says things to you that I can't say on the radio. So I think he's going to love it. I think Matthew Tkachuk, what's the radio version of this saying? He's going to be like a pig in slop.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Is it mud or yeah, slop, mud, same thing.
Yeah, there you go. Something like that. Brandon Montour, I think is going to really embrace the chaos. Sam Bennett, an Ontario born kid who I think would be happy to torture the Leafs. But like, I mean, why not all the Leafs, man? I think that whole team. I think Liljegren's got to be a huge factor in this series on account of it looks like he's starting it. And I mean, all he has to do is not be on the ice for like three quarters of the goals that the Panthers score.
Doesn't sound like too much to ask for.
Right? Like literally three quarters of the goals. Like, not to rag on Justin Hall. Like, that dude, he's a great guy, funny guy, great teammate. But man, he had a tough series, right? So,
yeah.
There are some things they can still improve on, even though they won.
All right, Steve, before we let you go, I can't help but notice that both your co-host and myself are both wearing blue lipstick, and our co-hosts are not, Justin Cuthbert and Steve Dangle. No blue lipstick, as Adam Wilde and I have done, you know, the bold thing here and put some on, and I'm wondering what we need to do, what we need to wager to get the co-hosts on board with the trend.
I think they just need to feel more passion. It's very obvious.
You're lacking it, Steve. You're lacking it.
No, I'm not lacking it. See, I was wearing the lipstick on my cheek.
Yes.
Because Adam Wilde right. On the cheek.
I think Ailish kind of... apology to Steve for having that? Like, you're the reason why the blue lipstick
is... You earned it, Steve. Look great on you.
Apologize for the best experience of my life. Why? What for? I love that.
So you don't want to enter into a wager. Leafs win this series, you'll wear it. Justin will wear it. They go 2-0 at home. You guys will slop it on. What do you think? Nothing. Oh. Eh? Putting you right on the spot on the radio airwaves.
This is this is not what we signed up for.
It's too bad. I'm in control.
No. I don't want to do it.
Thank you, Steve. Right. Thank you,
that's
Steve
okay.
Dangle.
Everyone that's listening will just know that you're weak. It's
I
okay.
owe you a thank you.
That's all right. We'll circle back.
You know
back.
What? That's all right. That's all right.
No worries. We'll circle back one day, Steve. I'll remember this moment. But nonetheless, I'm wearing it proudly while I talk to you. So maybe it'll bring some good luck into this series. Thanks so much for coming on this morning. Looking forward to seeing how it all shakes out and hopefully more exciting and happy moments for Steve Dangle.
Go Leafs, go.
Thanks, Steve. We'll chat soon. That's Steve Dangle, co-host of the Steve Dangle podcast. And would not take my peer pressure on the radio.
Yeah, I was not expecting that
you
to go
nervous.
The way it did
I
go.
I saw it in your eyes.
Again, like, I saw some comments. Like, we're not sharing a stick of lipstick. Like, it's not
I could
happening.
Buy you your own
and
if you're scared.
You will return that the next day. Okay, so we did our little updated list of teams we think can win the Stanley Cup. We're down to 8. How many teams that did we lose? Did we lose the Rangers and Bruins?
We did. We lost the Rangers, the Bruins.
We had the Leafs. I guess we lost the Lightning as well. Did you think the Lightning
no.
could win? Okay. The Leafs survive. The Stars survive. The
Oilers
survive. Do we want to add anyone to that? Do we want to take anyone off that
list? I thought
list?
We were going to add the Devils, and then we have two from each conference and the two teams that we think will advance on each side.
Okay, so I'm going to be betting the Devils in some way, some shape or form, but do we add either Jack Hughes or Akira Schmid to our Conn Smythe portfolio? I think I saw it about 16-1 yesterday for Jack Hughes.
I could see Jack Hughes in there.
It feels like no one, like Schmid's only played a couple games. Jack Hughes hasn't been like all world. Timo Meier's barely showed up. It seems like it's hard to kind of assign credit to what the Devils have done so far.
That's scary.
But I think Jack Hughes, this could be his playoff when it's all said and done. Do you want to add anyone, Dallas Maple Leafs?
Well, you told me who
Riley is 50-1 right now.
Oh, I've got my Ryan O'Reilly stock. The Morgan Riley stock I might have missed, honestly.
51's still pretty good.
Oh, that's what you saw it today?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sprinkle some.
If the Leafs won the Stanley Cup based on, like, right now, if you're going to give it to a Leaf, it's Morgan Riley, isn't it? It's tough, but I think it's Morgan Riley.
If it was, or if this series was done now, this is it. I guess it is.
There you go. And if you got the guy through one round at 50-1 and he's been the best, like, there's no sign of him slowing down. Auston Matthews could take complete control of the rest of this playoff. I acknowledge that is true. Samsonov could be there. Ryan O'Reilly could be the guy. But I think like Morgan Riley's ahead right now.
Okay, good things to take a look at the Conn Smythe thoughts. We're going to do a baby wake and rake now.
Are you asking for the music?
I am.
Hit the music.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be right, though, with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money.
We're still working
Eilish
on that.
And Justin.
It's tough.
We're still working on our flow there.
It's all right. Leafs, Panthers, round two, game one, 7 p.m., Scotiabank Arena. Leafs in regulation. I'm going big. I'm going bold, just like the blue lipstick. That's where I'm starting. My level of concern of the complacency and the take your foot off the gas pedal will not be the script tonight. The Panthers will be one less day of rest, one more emotional depletion because they had to go through all that and just a lot of excitement. And maybe you are a little tired coming into Toronto. Maple Leafs have been sitting there waiting, wishing, ready to rumble.
You like the Leafs.
Leafs in regulation.
You like the Leafs. I like the Dallas Stars in regulation, -105. This is the time of year, or this is the round where things normalize, I think, generally, right? Get some upsets in round one and get some weird and wacky things. But now it gets to the point, I think, or I feel, or historically would suggest that things start to normalize. The better team gets through. Dallas is better than Seattle. I think I'm going to bet them in a bunch of different ways, whether it be the spread, whether it win game one, win the series, regulation tonight, maybe Rope hands Conn Smythe. Just, I like Dallas a lot, finding ways to bet them. And for the Wake and Rake, I will do the same and bet them in regulation.
Okay, so two regulation NHL games, no OTs tonight. Let's go through some Wake and Rake picks or anchor selections. Happy Tuesday for today's anchor. We're going to keep it simple. I will take Leafs on the spread, and Jules will take the Warriors at home, -4.5.
And the theory that the Warriors play every day continues with another Warriors pick from Jules. Good morning, Justin Eilish. Let's keep May rolling with the plays, 3 of 3 yesterday. And today, he'll be taking Morgan Riley to record 1+ assist at -106. Riley has been the backbone of this team. Yes, he has. So far this playoffs, don't see him letting up. No name there, but Morgan Riley to record an assist.
Good morning. It's Corey from Port Hope here. For my Wake and Rake pick, I'll take the Jays money line. Yes, I like them to bounce back after last night's tough loss. I was very sad to see how that one ended. I would definitely take the Jays in the money line if I wasn't taking Leafs and money line.
Leafs, or Jays rather, losing 2 straight. Parlay Poppy, 3-figure wages have been placed. Okay. The Leafs to win in regulation. Dallas Stars money line. AL Central leading Twins to beat the league worst Chicago White Sox. Joe Ryan is 5-0 with a 2.8 ERA, going to own the White Sox. The anchor is Leafs in regulation, if not Dallas. So Leafs in regulation from Harley Potter.
Okay, someone's got Nyes over 0.5 points. So to get a point, Ian the Snowplow Driver says Kikuchi lefty versus lefty over 4.5 strikeouts would even go over 5.5.
Don from Paris likes Florida moneyline. Yikes.
Yeah, Don, I thought we had a big Paris listening ship, and you might be booted off the show, Don.
The vibes out of Paris, no good
he
anymore.
He also says Jay's money line, so.
And Gary Iron Panther Roberts says Florida on the money line. I don't think that's the real Gary Roberts. Okay, we're going to disregard those last two. Is it just Jays and
I like Jays on the money line. I mean, let's do a little homers parlay. We like Leafs. We like Jays. Vibes have been pretty good in Toronto. Last night was a bit of a disappointing loss for the Blue Jays. I mean, a walk-off home run. Kikuchi, Mr. Loyal Kikuchi. He's going to hold it down the fort for us tonight.
Yeah. Okay. Need a victory.
All right, so let me put that together. We got Leafs in regulation, you got Dallas Stars in regulation, and then you have the Toronto Blue Jays just on the money line, and you parlay that up for your Tuesday, and that is +547. It's a beautiful, beautiful day.
Where we want to be.
All right, so Leafs in action, 7 p.m. First pitch for Toronto Blue Jays at the Boston Red Sox, 7:10. Tonight, a little homers parlay action for you tonight. Kikuchi on the mound versus Tanner. Ooh, Tanner, something or other. H-O-U-C-K. I never know how to say that one.
Hook.
Hook. He's going to get the hook early on in the game. We're out of here. All right. Round two.
We're getting the hook.
Game one.
Let's go.
Talk to you tomorrow.